Amen. Thank you, choir. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 4. We'll begin reading in verse 13. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John, and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they had nothing to say in reply. But when they had ordered them to leave the council, they began to confer with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For the fact that a noteworthy miracle has taken place through them is apparent to all who live in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it will not spread any further among the people, let us warn them to speak no longer to any man in this name." And when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or to teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard." Beloved, this is the eternal word of our Savior. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning, a humble people, a sinful people, saved by grace, by your grace, by faith in Christ alone. Lord, we come to you this morning in need of hearing your word, in need of the grace of Christ. We pray, Lord, that you would be with us, that you would speak to us this morning through your word. And Lord, allow us to hear what you have to say. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You never really know what may happen in a day. What begins as normal many times turns out to be something quite unexpected. With four boys growing up in our house, Tina and I have come to expect the unexpected, right? More than once, truly, what started out for me as a normal day going to work ended with me sitting in the emergency room with one of my sons, and I can remember asking myself more than once, "How in the world did I get here?" Right? You ever had that experience? The scripture tells us that one day Peter and John were walking to the temple to worship, and they encountered a lame man who was begging in front of the temple for money. If you would, turn to Acts chapter 3, and I want us to read this together. It's important considering our text. Acts chapter 3, beginning in verse 3. Peter and John encounter this man. Verse 3. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze upon him and said, "Look at us." And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I do not possess silver or gold, but what I do have I give to you." And then Peter said, "In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk." And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. And listen to what he says. And with a leap, he stood. He stood upright and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Now, this, of course, caused quite a stir. This man who had been lame from his birth all of a sudden is leaping and running and praising Almighty God. As a crowd gathered to see what had happened here, Peter does exactly what Jesus commanded him to do. And Peter preaches the gospel. He had a crowd, and like any good preacher, he preached the gospel. And we don't have time to read the whole text of his sermon, but we can sum it up like this. Peter said, Jesus, the one you rejected and crucified, the Holy One, was raised from the dead. We are witnesses to this fact, Peter says. Based on faith in the name of Jesus, this man has been made well. It is Jesus, notice how many times he uses the name Jesus. He says, it is Jesus who fulfilled every word of the prophets. Therefore, he says, repent. Repent so that your sins may be forgiven. That's what he preached. That's the gospel. Now, as you can imagine, this sermon offended the temple rulers. And so to keep Peter quiet and to disperse the crowd, the temple rulers did the only thing they knew they could do. They put Peter and John in prison until they could decide what to do the next day. And so what starts out for Peter and John walking to the temple to worship ends with them residing in the temple jailhouse. They obeyed the word of Christ. And when they did that, things began to happen. What I'd like to do briefly is to just draw four principles from the passage we've read that gives us a biblical pattern, if you will, of what it means to obey the word of Christ. The first principle is this: obedience to the word of Christ is not an option. Obedience to the word of Christ is not an option. Just before Christ ascended back to the Father, he instructed his apostles to continue his work of the gospel. In Acts 1 and verse 8, he said, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. Now, beloved, this was not a suggestion that Jesus made for them to fit into their busy schedule. This was not something for them to add to their to-do list. This was the command of Christ, the priority and the substance of their lives. One of the blessings, and we're truly blessed to be going through the book of Luke with our pastor, but one of the great blessings of reading and studying the Gospels is that we get to hear the words of Christ spoken to us in the flesh. Okay? Many times, of which are hard words. They're hard words. If you would, turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. There's two passages I want to read this morning from the words of Christ. Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 37. We're going to read through verse 39, if you turn there. This is Jesus speaking. Matthew 10, beginning in verse 37. Listen to what he says. Words of Christ. He who loves mother, father, or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it. And he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. The words of Christ. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, many of you are familiar with, brilliant German theologian during the Second World War, refused to water down the message of the gospel of Christ in the face of Hitler's threats. And Bonhoeffer left Germany for the sake of his own life. And as he was gone, he was compelled. He was compelled to return to his people and to preach the gospel. And he did, and eventually it cost him his life. The Bonhoeffer, in that Cost of the Discipleship, that great little book, he said this: when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. Paul said, I die how often? Daily. I die daily. And what Paul and Bonhoeffer were saying as a reflection of Christ's words, that my life is your life. I'm alive in you, dead to myself. I'm yours. I'm your slave. Do with me what you will. If you would, turn to John chapter 6. Again, passage from Christ Himself. John chapter 6. Hard words. Beginning in verse 51. Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread also which I give for the life of the world is my flesh. Then the Jews began to argue with one another, saying, how can this man say to us, give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food. He says, my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. Hard words. And the scripture tells us that after Jesus spoke these words, that many who followed him, who traveled with him from town to town, left. They withdrew. They followed him no more. It was enough. It was too hard. They couldn't do it. And perhaps, beloved, one of the most poignant passages in all of Scripture, after these left, Jesus looks to his apostles and he asks this question. He says, you do not want to go away also, do you? That's what he asked his apostles. Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And this raises the question for us this morning. How important is it for us truly, as believers in Christ, to hear his word? How important is it? And I would tell you that, beloved, it is everything. It's everything. We are held accountable for everything that Jesus said. He is the bread of life. Let me ask, where does the word of Christ fit into our lives this morning, truly? How seriously do we take obedience to the word of our master, truly? Let me ask it this way. If our heart was a house filled with many rooms, how many doors would be open to hear truly the word of Christ? And when Christ says to hear my word, he means hear and obey. How many doors would be open to hearing, and how many doors would be locked and closed? What about the door leading to our expectations in this world? How about the door leading to our passions? How about the door leading to our deepest thoughts and desires? How about the door leading to our most intimate sins, the sins that only we know about? And speaking of this, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, he said, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. And he says this, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And he says, we are taking captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. It's been said, we have to keep what is demanded of us by the fact that Jesus lives and He reigns and He conquers. And obedience, beloved, to the word of Christ is not an option. Verse 13, if you would. Also, obedience to the word of Christ is an act of confident love. In Acts chapter 4, back in verse 13, obedience to Christ is an act of confident love. Now, as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. And so what Luke is doing here for us, he's giving us a picture of what's going on in this council meeting. And as the leaders of this temple observe Peter and John as they stand before them accused, and they know that Peter and John had not been trained in the Jewish traditional schools. And yet, that doesn't mean that they were untrained, does it? It doesn't mean that they were untrained. Certainly, as they grew in Jewish homes, they studied the Old Testament Scriptures. I think that's obvious from the Gospels. They studied the Old Testament Scriptures. And also, if you didn't know it, they attended the best seminary this world has ever known, right? They walked with Jesus for 3 years and heard the teaching of the one who wrote the Scriptures that the Jewish leaders claimed to be their own. Can you imagine? 3 years. And that's not all. They had the very, as they stood before this council, the very Spirit of Christ empowering them, the creator and sustainer of all things, filling their lives as they stood before this council who tried to intimidate them. And so as Peter and John stood there, accused of healing a man in the name of Jesus, the Scripture tells us they stood there with confidence. They stood there with courage. And the Jewish leaders were amazed. They couldn't understand, why aren't these guys trembling in their boots? Why aren't they afraid? Why aren't they intimidated? And then it began to dawn on them. They began to recognize that Peter and John had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. And they remembered how Jesus spoke with power and authority. And these two men who stood before them reflected that same power and authority in Christ alone. And what I find particularly interesting here is Peter. We talked about in Sunday school this morning, Peter. We love Peter. Peter reminds us of ourselves almost every day. Peter, not many days before, you remember, as Jesus was being tried unlawfully before the church council, Peter watched, and he denied 3 times that he even knew who Jesus was with cursing. He said, I do not know the man. I do not know the man. And now he stands there before the same Jewish council with courage, with confidence. And so we ask ourselves, what makes the difference? What made the difference? And beloved, the difference simply is grounded in Peter's obedience to the Word of Christ. His obedience to the Word of Christ. Peter lost himself in the person of Jesus. He lost himself in the person of Christ. He came to the place in his life as a believer where doing the Word of Christ became more important to him. It became a priority for him, the very fabric of his life. And so now, through the power of the Holy Spirit, Peter gave himself to obeying his Lord, not out of obligation, but out of love for his Master. Out of love for his Master. Peter's love for Christ trumped everything in his life. One of the great challenges of raising children, those of us who have raised children and grandchildren, one of the great challenges is teaching them how to obey, us as parents. This is not an easy thing. This is a long process, one we're still working on. It's a long process. But you think about it in stages. As toddlers, little bitty children, we teach them what it means to say what? No. It's an important word. No. They heard that a lot in our house, still do. Then as small children, we teach them, though, from the Scriptures to obey us as parents. We teach them to obey us as parents. And we bring discipline when necessary, just as our Master does. And then as young adults and as parents, we long to see our children obey us, not simply out of obligation, but out of what? Out of love. Out of love for us as their parents. That's what we long to see. I remember on more than one occasion, one of ours is just a little guy, a little toddler, beaming with great joy to see our pleasure in his obedience. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And when we do so, we bring to him great pleasure. Great pleasure. So Peter and John stood before this council with confidence and encouraged, not because they thought they could argue their way out of it, not because they knew that they would be delivered without harm, because certainly they did not know that. But they were confident because They're obeying the one that they loved. And they knew that it pleased him. Our obedience to Christ also, beloved, as we well know, will be challenged. Our obedience will be challenged. In the person of Jesus Christ, we not only see God incarnate, God in the flesh, but we also see the reality of a spiritual war that's being fought every moment of every day. A war against our Savior and His kingdom. The enemy never calls a truce. The enemy never calls a truce. And beloved, neither does our Savior. Neither does our Savior. We are at war, spiritually, with a real enemy who hates us and hates Christ. That's our enemy. The kingdom of God is won on the battlefield. That's what Christ taught us. And in our witness to the power of Christ, to the power of His gospel, we will face opposition. That's the nature of spiritual warfare. Paul said in Ephesians 6:12, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." We are at war. Look at verse 14. Acts 4:14. "And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they had nothing to say in reply. But when they ordered them to leave the council, they began to confer with one another, saying, 'What shall we do with these men?'" He said, "What shall we do with these men? For the fact that a noteworthy miracle has taken place through them is apparent to all in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it." They had a problem. This miracle happened, and they couldn't deny it. He had clear evidence it had taken place. This man who once had been lame for his life was standing right in front of them. Here's the thing. They could see the reality of the power of Christ standing right before them, and they rejected it. They rejected it. Verse 17. "And so will not, so that it will not spread any further," this is what they decided to do, "so that it would not spread any further among the people, let us warn them not to speak any longer to any man in this name." They refused to name the name of Jesus. "And when they had summoned them, they commanded them," you hear that? "They commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus." Do we see what's happening here? The Jews knew full well, they knew the power of Christ, the power of His kingdom. The one whom they crucified, they knew the power of His kingdom. But here was their problem. It was the power of Christ and His kingdom that threatened theirs. And this is the essence of spiritual warfare that we face every day. Every day. The enemy will do everything he can to keep the kingdom of God from overtaking his. And while that may sound daunting, what did Jesus say? He says, "I will build my church. I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it." So yes, our obedience to Christ will be challenged. And the question for us all this morning, as we draw this to a close, is how will we respond? How do we respond? Let me ask this, how often is our obedience challenged? How often is our obedience to Christ challenged? How about every moment of every day? Most of the spiritual battles that we face are fought on the battleground of our own flesh. Paul said in Romans chapter 7, "Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then on one hand I find myself with my mind and I'm serving the law of God, but on the other with my flesh the law of sin." It's a battleground in our own flesh. And just as salvation from sin and death is by faith alone in Christ alone, so too, every day, obedience to the Word of Christ is by faith alone in Christ alone. The power needed to heal that lame man to make him able to walk is the same power that we need to obey the Word of Christ Himself. That's the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells all of us in Christ. The power of God incarnate. The power of the Creator of the universe indwells us. How do we do this practically? I mean, how does this work out in our lives daily? How do we obey the Word of Christ? It always starts with His Word. We give ourselves to His Word. We give ourselves to His Word. We pour our hearts out to Him, asking Him to teach us, to show us, to strengthen us. That's what we do. That's what He calls us to do. And as we're faithful to do that, Christ not only gives us the desire to obey Him in all that we do, but He gives us the power to do it. You see that? So we have a battlefield of our own flesh that we fight every day. And yet, we understand that our obedience to Christ will be challenged by the world. It will be challenged by the enemy. This is exactly what Peter and John were facing as they stood before that Jewish council. And so do we this day, in this world, in this culture. Our culture is changing in this country dramatically. We know that. Our culture is changing dramatically. Things that would have been considered sacred, even to the world, 30 years ago, are now considered nothing more than foolishness. Unfortunately, tragically, in many of our churches in this country, the Word of Christ is deemed to be what? Offensive. It's offensive. Many, if not most, churches in this country are more concerned about pleasing the world, right, than confronting it with the person and the Word of Christ. And so our enemy is fully aware of that in the middle of it. And he desperately wants to quiet the Word of Christ. He wants to quiet the Word of Christ. And as His people, sitting here today, this morning, in this church, what are we to do? What are we to say? In verse 19, the Scripture tells us that Peter and John answered and said to them, in the face of their command, in the face of what they threatened them with, they said, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard." That's what they said. And beloved, that's what they did. That's what they did. And God used that word spoken by them faithfully. 2,000 years later, we're sitting here worshiping Christ by the faithfulness of these men. Bonhoeffer sat in a Roman prison, in a German prison, not knowing his fate. He was alone. He didn't know what was going to happen. And he prayed. And one of the prayers that he prayed, he wrote down. I'm going to read this for us as we draw this to a close. Bonhoeffer wrote these words. He said, "In me there is darkness, but with you there is light. I am lonely, but you do not leave me. I am feeble in heart, but with you there is help. I am restless, but with you there is peace. In me there is bitterness, but with you there is patience. I do not understand your ways," he prayed, "but you know the way for me. Lord Jesus Christ, you were poor and in distress, a captive and forsaken as I am. You know all men's troubles. You abide with me. When all men fail me, you remember and seek me. It is your will that I should know, and in turn, I turn to you. Lord, I hear your call and follow. Help me." That's a prayer for all of us. Let's pray. Father, we don't understand all your ways. Lord, we thank you for the person of Christ who came to deliver us from this world of darkness and sin. And we pray, Father, that we indeed would be driven by the power of your Spirit and indwells us to give ourselves to you, to lose ourselves in the person of Christ, to do your bidding, to do your work, to be faithful to the end. Lord, we are weak, but you are strong. We are afraid, but Lord, you give us courage. We pray, God, that you would use us mightily in the work of your kingdom for the rest of our lives, for the days you've given us. Let them be given to you. And we pray this in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.